Rich.
We're here.
We're here. We've been here. Just been busy.
Oh my gosh.
You know. Different, well, for you, lots of traveling. Together, just a lot of events.
It ain't over.
It ain't over. We got a little window here of full focus on the footy, and then more fun to be had. But we're back. You probably missed us, you know.
I hope so. I bet there's people going, it's been like a month. Where are these guys at? And this is maybe the longest stretch we've gone without.
I think so.
Recording in season. So, again, life came at us fast. Lots of events. Shout outs to Jacob and Jeff on their wedding and the Vegas trips. The future wedding in Hawaii in 2 weeks. Like we got moves to make. Yeah. We're almost there, but
we're busy boys.
It's been a busy fall, but you know, it felt like this weekend I got things under control.
Nice.
Like just normal errands I was able to achieve. I haven't gone grocery shopping in like the last month because I'm like, what's the point? I'm out of here in like a week. So we're here. So it's been so long since we've done this. I forgot to grab my beverage. So let me just behind me or take the spotlight.
Okay. Well, I came prepared. I remembered our process here. This one actually caught me by surprise, I guess. The box art is what sucked me in. It's the Elysian Hazy 96. The box art kind of looked like this, so like a VHS tape. And I was like, that's a little throwback. And then
nostalgia,
something else jumped out. So here we go. You know, it good design, good marketing. It worked on me. So.
Hydrating Bellevue grapefruit. This is like my go-to jam. It's no Spindrift, but let me tell you, Aldi's has figured it out.
So, really?
Yeah. I'll bring you one.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, Chad. Well, we can start off. Yeah. Where to begin? It's been so long. I do know that I put in my head $100 bet down on Arsenal to win against Man City.
So close.
That bet almost came true. And then when I checked the bet, I accidentally bet for Man City.
Wait,
did you know this? I didn't tell you this? Oh, I'm so happy we're doing this live. Chad, I sent you the screenshot. I was like, this is it. Chad, all the way up until the game ended, I looked at my phone and it said, you did not win. I said, yeah, obviously. But it said, I'll have to go back to it. But it said I had picked Man City to win. I had picked the home team. And in my head, I'm not a gambling man. I don't know how those apps work. You would have said something to me right away like, bro, you didn't do Arsenal. Like, what are you doing? Either way, you could have bet on the draw, but no one does that. That's no fun. Let's be real. So if Arsenal would have won that game, of course, I would have been stoked, but I also would have been like, oh, my God.
That would have been such a conflict of emotions for you.
I'm glad I didn't know till after. Let's just say that. Let's just say that. But shoot, let's dive into that match. Yeah, we have to.
That was I was in Disneyland during that match, and it was the most stressed I've ever been inside Disneyland. Because I'm not able to watch it. I'm just getting the the live updates on the phone, and I started with the early Haaland goal, so I was like, well, that's not a great start, and then as it goes on, like, I don't know if you've used the live sports on iPhone like thing. I don't know how it is for other sports, but for like soccer specifically, it is maybe not as descriptive as I would like in the updates.
Are you using the ESPN app, or is it just Apple Sports?
No. It's like the Apple Sports app, and it, like, I don't know. They're live, like, updating app, I guess. Okay. But yeah, all the updates are like pretty generic and not overly descriptive, which I get works in like a live update sense, but for the fan, it's like not quite enough. Like, you're not getting great info. Accurate info, but just not as detailed as I would like. So I was trying not to look at it because I was on vacation and trying to enjoy that, but of course it's just in like the front of my mind of like, this game is going on, it's a big game. Haaland goes up early, Calafiore gets it back. Didn't see the goal live, obviously, but an incredible goal.
Which I want to go back to once we do your recap.
Yeah. Then I think I was standing in line for Haunted Mansion and comes through that Gabrielle gets a goal. All right, right before half, that's the perfect time to get it. 2-1, yep. You know, should be done, good halftime. I could be stress-free for 15 minutes. And then I get this update that, oh, red card. And I said, And then it said, yeah, Leandro Trossard, second yellow, dismissed. And I said, what in the hell? Like, we're just about to halftime. Like, what could you have possibly done?
I mean, gosh, no more than what, 7 minutes? Seven minutes into the second half, red card.
Yeah. You know, obviously then, like, didn't really have any info, and I'm just, like, scrolling through Twitter trying to see if anyone's posted any video or anything, and, you know, they finally kind of get posted, and I find them, and it's the new thing, right, of anytime a play is delayed, it's a yellow, for some teams, I guess, but, you know, I think that rule is fine, but I think it needs a lot of context with it. Whereas like this is, you know, I forget exactly what the time was, but between whistle and him kicking was like a second.
It was right? Less. Like, I believe it was 0.87, but I feel like even that's too much. But even it was 0.87 from whistle to him making contact with the ball. I'm sure that time was even less from whistle to wind up of kick. That's what you got to be thinking there. Whatever, 1 second, and like he's already in his motion. That's crazy.
And I mean, like I don't personally think it was a foul that he committed on. I think it's Bernardo Silva. They went up for the ball. Well, Trossard did, and Silva really didn't. But again, it was. What, already a minute or two past the added time in the first half. So, like, I think most players are kicking the ball away in that fashion, like, not as a just delay, but as a, like, oh, this is probably the whistle for end of half, right? Like, it was so quick, and I just think these refs need to kind of understand the situation a little bit more. Like, your first job is to, like, obviously keep the game fair and keep the players safe, but you're also, you got to keep the product of the game, right, like, entertaining and worth it for all the money that these fans are spending and people that are watching, and you know, to have another sending off for a silly little play like this is just a bummer. You know, I think we would have had a really, really fun second half. I mean, I think it was still a good second half from Arsenal, you know, showed that they could defend really well. And, you know, David Raya doing his thing back there, making big saves, you know, Saliba making some big stops as well. And of course, you know, it comes down to that final corner.
Of course,
you know, it's a little bit of a heartbreaker, but again, this is now, I think this was the third game City has not beat Arsenal in a row. So, I don't know. And I just wish we could have got a second half with full squads. You know, it should be the spectacle, because, like, these teams plus Liverpool are the big ones right now, right? And to have a sending off or something like that where it's, like, not really even game-breaking, especially because it was at the end of the half, like, it's just a bummer.
And Doku, not long before that, had something similar where he kicked the ball away on a reset.
Yeah.
I believe in the first half, and there was nothing called for it. Yeah, pretty unfortunate. It was just, you know, if anything, I thought Oliver was giving Trossard a card on the foul that he committed on Silva, because it was, he went in pretty hard. Not anything we haven't seen before. We have seen that been called for a card before.
Yeah.
But to find out it was because of the the kick away, which no City player was going for that ball to get it fast anyway. It wasn't going to be a fast restart.
They were probably all anticipating that was, you know, end of half as well.
This was second half.
The Trossard?
His red card or the first yellow?
His red card. It was at 45 plus 8. I got.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah. Oh, boy. Check your sources.
I'm checking my math. Yeah, you know what? I'm looking at 53 minutes, but yeah, it was. Wow. My head's spinning now. I was in Vegas, man, okay? Time is irrelevant. Well, that just makes this even more shocking as we sit
That's
here.
That's what I'm saying.
Wow.
Look, everyone, it's been a few weeks. We got to shake it out a little bit.
This was a month ago, okay? This was a month.
Exactly.
And to be fair, I mean, was this the... I mean, it was obviously a huge portion of this game, but the sticking point of this game was Haaland throwing the ball at Gabby, and then the ruckus that caused at the end, telling Arteta to stay humble, and, you know, hearing comments that Arsenal can never win the league the way they play. Dude, they just kept you scoreless for a whole half, down a man.
Yeah.
In their body. Yeah, they had no choice. That was the way they had to play that game.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I think you're in City's head pretty big right now.
I think so, too. You know, I didn't think too much of it until all the, like, the antics at the end, and then, yeah, all the you know, commentary and pundits talking about, you know, Arsenal should have went out and played for the win, down a man. Like, they've done that before, and they lost, like, 5-0. Like, it's not smart to do against a team like City. This is how every team would play the situation against City. Like, you got to get the points where you can, especially when you have a lead at that point. Like, why would you try and throw that away? Of course you're going to defend it. Yeah.
The lead for a long time. The Calafiori goal, this is my City very rarely gets screwed in things, but I believe they partially got screwed in this play. And there was a foul in the middle of the field. And
yeah, I think so.
And it was a quick take by Arsenal. And during that quick take, Oliver was signaling for Kyle Walker to come over to him. Really, it took 2 to 3 steps Walker took towards the middle of the pitch, and that's when Martinelli bolted down the sideline. That was pretty crucial, because that just left. I understand, like, they did track back. He did get back into position. But he had to sprint back. He had to reposition themselves. And then after they score, of course, they're all rushing Oliver. And then Pep commented at the end of the game, basically saying, if a ref calls you over, do not go to him. Which I don't think Pep's wrong.
He's
like, make him come to you. I was like, yeah, I think that's fair. Unless the whistle is dead or the play is done, I'm pretty on board with that. I don't want to see a ref call over my player and have my guy go out of position just for the play to continue. That's crazy talk.
I agree. That's, you know, I think it like other parts of this game, got kind of blown up and made into something even worse than it was. Mm-hmm. But you're right that he's not quite back in position, and then when he realizes it, he has to turn on real quick, and, you know, it's just going from talking to ref mindset to now, like, full-on back defending, like, crucial defense. You know, it's a hard flip, and definitely catches them out a little bit, but I mean, yeah, if a ref's going to call you over, just the same way as, like, if a ref runs and talks to the coaches, the players can't continue to play on until the ref gets back into position. So
it's what Walker did was instinctual.
Like,
simple as that. You get called over by a ref. I'm assuming he didn't blow the whistle, because the play wouldn't have been able to continue that quickly. I agreed with City's point of being super mad. And I think they would have been mad if there was no goal. I think the reaction would have been the same. Very fortunate that Arsenal was able to score on this, and you know, punish Michael Oliver for making that crucial mistake. I want a perfect game here, right? I want everything to fall into place. I don't want one team to have an advantage over another because a ref is making that happen. And who knows? Maybe this is a makeup call for he gave the red card. I mean, it was a couple of minutes later, right? Six minutes later, yeah. A red card came out. I
mean, yeah, it's
that's not too shocking.
It's not. So I mean, it could be something that played on his mind in that situation of like, okay, well, you know, whether it's the foul or him kicking the ball away, I am kind of protected here. I can, you know, call this and get away with it. And
makes you think, you know, makes you think a little.
Yeah. Well, it's not the first time he's done some weird stuff or any of these refs have. So.
No, and it won't be the last for Oliver. Absolutely not. Well, I was pumped. Y'all got the draw. I mean, that's money. Yeah. It was
heartbreaking to see that notification come in at 90+8 that they scored. And then like once I got back, I watched the game and I mean, yeah, it was just such a great defensive effort. And I think Arsenal felt like they were there, and just turned off for like that split second, and you know, City take the short corner, and because Arsenal turned off for that split second, or just tired minds, you know, couldn't get out quick enough to close it down, and you know, they get their goal, which fair enough, you know, teams fighting at the top, that's what you got to do. You got to fight till the end, and I'm glad to take a point away after, you know, having a whole second half down a man. So
yep. And now Rodri's out for the season. I mean, that's their glue guy. I mean, KDB is up there too, but we've made notes in the past when they don't have Rodri, this team is a completely different squad. And what, 2 weeks later, 1 week goes by, I think of 1 week, they draw again to Castle. So have we kind of like broke them a little bit in terms of holding their line with Rodri here? I mean, it'll be interesting to see how they go into this weekend against the Wolves. I'm expecting a demolishing, but the Wolves, they played Liverpool a couple weeks ago and surprisingly held their own. I was a little nervous on that game too, but the Wolves are no slouch right now. They'll still give you a hefty fight. So I don't know. They've done it before. Yeah. They seem to come around this time of year against City.
I mean, yeah, I think, you know, the whole Wolves team and camp knows that their season has not started as they would have hoped. And I think, you know, we're starting to see them kind of figure out how they want to play and how they want to try and get these wins. And, I mean, yeah, City's going to be a tough test, but you're at home. I think you can, you know, mount a good, almost like, just like a pressure on City of like, you know, if we lose, it's okay. People are expecting Wolves to lose, but like, if you guys don't blow us out, it's almost a loss, right? Like, so I think, I don't know, I'm not hopeful for Wolves, I guess, but they've looked better in recent weeks, so I think they can maybe make it difficult. At least
they've scored 7 goals in their last 4 games, so it's not like they're not knowing how to score. They're figuring that part out. It's everything that comes after it.
Well, they just gotta put Jose Sa back in goal. I don't
What are we doing? A lot of question marks with this team, and kind of,
if you're not going to ship him out wherever he was like rumored to go, like, why are we not playing him?
It's interesting. Johnston is in the net right now. Like, they're the same age. I would argue Saw is the better keeper. So I don't really know the philosophy on why they're doing one over the other.
Saw make some crazy saves over the seasons, and you know, I think a big game like this, I mean, I don't know if you throw him back in now just because he's out of like match fitness, I guess, but I don't know that Johnston has been any better, you know, than Saw started this season. So weird decision.
Yep. I mean, they're at the bottom of the table for a reason right now. I think it's you know, they definitely got some figuring out too. But what a better way to get your season back on track with at least getting points off of City.
Oh, be huge.
Please.
Do it.
Do it for us.
Yeah.
And only us. All right. Well, I can do a quick segment on Liverpool. Nothing too crazy for Liverpool. Again, putting away the Wolves, putting away Palace. Mm-hmm. By narrow margins, I will say. Not like the greatest.
A win's a win.
Oh, you're right. We won't be thinking about these games in May when we're sitting at the top of the table. Okay?
Exactly. There you go.
We'll be thinking about the 3 points for sure, but we won't be thinking about how we got those 3 points. The 3 points. Chad, if you would have told me after the Forest loss that we'd be top of the table, I think I'd be kind of understanding about that. And out of all these losses, out of all the points we've gained, and the only ones we dropped were Forest, which is exactly what happened, I'm okay with that. Honestly, any of these other teams, I think, you know, if we would have lost against Palace, fine. Or the Wolves, fine. But only one. You get one out of all of these. If it was going to be Forest, great. Because then we're right back on track now with getting our points. Confidence is high. Who we go with? Who do we got this weekend? Oh, Chelsea this weekend. Beautiful. So this will be a great match. I think this will be a... We'll get some firepower here. You know, Chelsea's been scoring a lot. They did struggle against the Forest team this last time around.
I mean, Forest has been in a good run of form lately. So, you know, causing issues for teams, you know, getting the Liverpool win is big confidence boost. I think getting a loss out of the way early in Slot's first season is probably the best thing that could have happened. Like, obviously you don't want to lose the first one or two, just like get good momentum. But the longer it goes on with no losses, people are going to start to like build it up as this, like,
sure.
Is he the, you know, next guy to take a team undefeated or, you know, make it this big thing. And I think, you know, just get the loss out of the way and show you can bounce right back. It's a good sign. Not at all surprised that Liverpool are, you know, also a title contender. I don't know why there's been so much talk of like Liverpool not in it this year or wasn't going to be in it this year. Like, I mean, it's still a great team. It just, you know, fell a little flat last season, but now it's a new, like, refresh manager, refresh tactics. Oh, you know, you're getting such a similar Liverpool, but like also just so different, and I'd say a little bit more dynamic, I think. And yeah, I mean, I am not surprised you're there. Some of these games have been a little bit closer than I would have anticipated, but it's Premier League. It's tough games all the time now. So
yeah, and this is, you know, I didn't get to really dive into some of those matches, but Slot's game plan seems to be get the lead, hold the lead. We don't need to blow teams out and waste all this energy. Of course, we love the Klopp era. We love the constant counterattacks.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost like Slot watched all that and said, okay, we're great at countering, but we're terrible at finishing. Like, let's reduce the amount of counters, capitalize on the few ones that we have, which seems to be working out pretty good with Diaz. And we'll hold the lead, we'll secure the lead, and then we'll just play calm football for the rest of these games. And if we get the lead against Chelsea seems to like being down and likes to play fast. They remind me a lot of the Liverpool of last, just movement, constantly going. If we do get the lead against them early, I just hope we can maintain our composure with Chelsea sprinting all up and down the pitch. That'd be my one thing to watch this weekend is how fast they are on the wings. And then just don't let Cole Palmer have the ball. Whatever you do, get him away from goal.
Uh-huh.
Keep him, never let him go goal side, and never let him have the ball within 20 yards. And I know every time he touches the ball around the 18 yard box, I'm going to be melting.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. Like, if Chelsea go down, they're like crazy enough to just throw it all forward and you know, try and force a goal. And I think that's worked in a few games already for them. But I don't know. I think, like you said, Slot's trying to bring this more control or composure into the side, and I think it's getting there. I don't think it's, you know, not clearly the main thing that these Liverpool players know and are used to. Like, you still see, you know, Diaz and Salah just bomb the wings and want to do this quick counter, and you know, it doesn't always pan out. But I think with Gravenberch in there, he's looking really good. You know, McAllister's still looking great. Szoboszlai, I love that he's a little bit higher up now. Like, I think that's, he's much more suited to that than playing deeper like he was last year. I think it should be a good match. I know this match tends to end in a draw quite often, but I don't think it will this year. I feel like both teams have been, you know, scoring a lot and at least creating a lot of chances. So it should be a pretty back and forth, I think. I mean, Liverpool's defense, I think, it is not only better, but just it's the same back four plus Alisson for years now, right? Like, Konate's newish in there, but him and Virgil have been rock solid this season.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Yeah, I think it'll be a good test for Chelsea, but I think also a good test for Liverpool to see if they can, you know, go toe to toe with a quote unquote top six team and, you know, not only get the goals, but kind of impose that control that Slot is wanting.
It's kind of crazy right now. Our weakest point is probably our striker spot.
It's a weird, weird turn of events, I think. Like, with all the questions we kind of had about Slot and, you know, what we might expect, like, I don't think we ever brought up the attack.
No, I mean, I think a lot of that had to do with last year and more of the midfield and no one really knowing their role. And then just our wing backs being off, Robertson being hurt a lot, Trent not having a great year. And now it's like, it's just so different. It's shocking. And I, you know, Nunez, I'm still a little concerned that he might not be our guy this year or what that's going to look like in the future. We just have to remember Jota is going to get injured at some point. That's just like, I hope, and it looks like Nunez is super happy. He scored 2 weeks ago against the Wolves. It was that great goal. And it was the Bournemouth game.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, that was, oh, I guess that wasn't too long. 3 weeks, whatever. Yeah. Great goal. He cried, man. He's so happy to be there. So I'm like, that's a good sign. Okay, the guy who's not playing a lot is scoring and so happy that he scored. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, maybe we can be patient with him. Maybe him not playing a lot isn't affecting him because he sees the bigger picture, the bigger goal. And I bet Slot has told him, like we've talked about before, this is a long season. There's going to be opportunities for you. Be patient. So, again, I'm super happy with how, I mean, of course I'd be happy. We're top of the league right now. it's just continuing to stay consistent.
Yeah,
that's the key here. So,
yeah, I mean, early days, I think I saw something that Liverpool had one of the easiest starts by like team ranking or whatever. But I think they've shown enough in there, you know, even with the Forest loss, the ability to just like, all right, that's done, move forward and get back to it. And, you know, I think some of the performances of still looked really good, even if the opposition wasn't, you know, a highly ranked team. I mean, I'll just point back to the United game. Like, United is supposed to be a highly ranked team, and Liverpool just dealt with them like it was nothing. So
I look down the table, and there's no one in this table I'm scared of outside the top three. Chelsea, I'll give them props. Villa, I'll give them props. But like everyone else, it's such a different feeling from last year. where it's like you'd go against the Fulhams and hell the Evertons and be like bogey game, trap game, screwed. And I'm not getting that right now. So I'm glad we're playing Chelsea now. But again, long season, anything can happen.
Definitely.
Should we talk about Man United?
Oh,
just a quickie.
Just, you know, what is there to say?
What is there to say? Well, they're Tottenham thrashing them was pretty awesome. And then seeing Tottenham lose the week after was just so perfect. I was like, you guys yeah. timed this so good. Yeah, we don't have to talk too much on United. They're a lost team, all over the place. No real, I mean, drive. Like, what? I don't know what Ten Hag is doing. They had a four-hour meeting, and he's still there. So
still there. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'm good if he stays. I think they're doing great. You know.
Isn't that crazy? Like, when it's a sign that every team that you're going against is like, he could stay.
Sign him on for 10 more years. Let's go.
Sign him. Get in that Chelsea contract.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And, you know, we've kind of made brief comments in the Discord and on Instagram and stuff. And it seems like all the United fans are just more blaming the players, which I think are, you know, they're clearly at fault too. But I think you have to look at Ten Hag with a lot of this too, because it's his training, it's his tactics, it's his, you know, management. So if things aren't playing out on the field, he needs to be able to tweak that, or, you know, make the subs or make the big decision to not start someone, or, you know, whatever it might be. But also, if you just can't, like, get your team up and ready to go and play a game and you know, be this big Man United team that you're supposed to be, is like, it's just not a good look, honestly, you know. And they almost just need to nuke the whole club and kind of start fresh under this new ownership. And I'm still very surprised that they kept Ten Hag around after, you know, kind of wavering on him in the summer, and then, you know, yeah, had his like Tuesday meeting after this last week. And, you know, I mean, they got a draw against Villa, so looks okay for United there, I think. You know, I think Villa would have wanted to get the win there and probably felt they should have, but I don't know. I don't see a lot of, like, the path forward for United here. It doesn't look like they're, you know, trying some new style and tactic that the players are just struggling to get used to. It just looks like everyone's an individual out there. Like, look at the Van de Ven goal, you know, dude picks it up on his side of the pitch, charges forward. He's quick, but there's like four or five United players that are just kind of like bubbled around him, but no one wants to press. Like, yep. It's as much as like that's on the players, also that's just like tactical unawareness, I guess, right? Of like, everyone's thinking you're going or you're going or you're going. So,
and
lots of problems there.
And Ten Hag, when those mistakes happen, he just looks blank. Like, where's the frustration? Yeah. Where's like you holding your players accountable? Where is all that? It just doesn't exist. And then Bruno goes out, and then it's like same. Well, like, he just kind of, I don't know.
Yeah, I think Bruno's kind of over it with Ten Hag. Like, just thinking back on his years that he's been in our fantasy league, he always picks up so much points because he's everywhere on the pitch. He's getting the tackles, the interceptions, as well as the goals and shots and assists. But, you know, this season, I don't think I ever really hear his name mentioned when I, you know, come across a United game. It's crazy.
It's his mental, man. He's lacking confidence. He mm-hmm. doesn't want to put in the work because he sees everyone around him kind of not really wanting to either. I do mm-hmm. think that their locker room is just, it's got to, they don't have each other's backs. That's really what it's clearly looking like. Like, yeah. There's no chemistry there. We go and look at, you know, teams, Twitters and Instagrams, and the players look genuinely happy together. I haven't done a deep dive on it, but I haven't seen anything like that with United players.
Yeah.
Which I'm definitely going to look now and maybe follow them just to see what is going on in there. I mean, we see like little skits and everything from all these other teams with their players mm-hmm. together. Looks like having a good time. If Man United's doing something like this, I feel like it's artificial.
I mean, I just don't know who in there seems like a personality to like kind of rally everyone together.
It's supposed to be Bruno, right?
It's supposed to be Bruno. Yeah, he's captain. I guess maybe Johnny Evans, because he's the old experienced guy that you know, has been through it and you know, seen the ups and downs. But, you know, if Bruno's not taking charge, I guess you can maybe look to Casemiro, but I think he's a little bit of the same as Johnny Evans, you know, the experienced guy who's maybe doesn't want to take that leadership role, maybe never has, you know, really in his playing career. He's just always been more of the enforcer kind of guy. But, you know, I guess maybe Maguire, but
he's sick of that place too, I bet.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's a weird mashup of players that either, I think, don't want to be there, don't like the manager. Some want to try and perform and get something going, but you just can't do it alone. I don't know. It's a club in a weird spot, and like, change of ownership is already tough on a lot of clubs, but then to do it while also just being already in kind of a weird, I wouldn't even call it a rebuild phase at this point. Like, they haven't started, I don't think.
they're missing a dog too. They don't have a guy who will just flatten someone. If someone does something out of line on the other team, they don't have that guy. I feel like I can give you five teams right now at random. You can at least give me one person who would probably retaliate. And this team, you just look up and down the roster. And
I feel like that maybe was McTominay, but then they sold him.
Kind of, yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, they got Brentford next.
If I'm a gambling man, I'm taking Brentford.
Now make sure you take the right team this go, but
it's illegal in Missouri, man, or else I would.
Yeah. You know, yeah, Brentford, I think, has been looking pretty good. They had what, two or three games in a row where they scored in the first minute?
I want to say it's three games.
I think it was three. Which is kind of insane. I don't know if that's a record or what, but
they did mark last game at the 2 minute. Oh. But it's one.
Come on.
Yeah. It's gotta be one. Or at least really, really close.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah, they're clearly getting off to quick, fast starts, which they've sometimes not been able to hang on to. But I think if you do that against this United team and you go up early, this United team will crumble. So come on, Brentford.
Make it happen. Chad, I was mistaken. They scored three goals within the first minute in the last four games. But in that fourth game, they got a goal in the second minute. So they almost had four in a row. Almost. That's incredible.
That's crazy. Like, I don't know if that's part of the plan or it just falls into their lap and they're like, all right, we're up.
Well, I'm definitely going to be watching that one. I think out of all the games on Saturday, that'll be the go-to.
Yeah. Yeah, that looks like it could be a spicy one. I mean, Tottenham and West Ham, but that's at 4:30 for me. West Ham's not, I'm not excited on them at the moment, so.
Yeah, bummer.
Not going to waste my time.
And then two games on Sunday.
Yeah.
And one game Monday. All right. That's not bad. Not too shabby there. What else we got in the last couple of weeks that we missed? At least in the EPL. We can kind of go over USA and our thoughts there.
Everton got another win, or their first win? Was that? I don't know. It's been so long.
It has. It's crazy.
No, because I think we gave them Team of the Week when they won.
No.
Or what? I don't know.
No.
Who knows? Well, they got a win under their belt, so
they beat Palace.
Their season's back on track.
Out of relegation zone, but remember we said when they get to 6 points, they're 1 point shy.
Premier League's like, oh, come on, Everton, you're right there.
We got that 6-point deduction. Hey, waiting for you. All right, so we got four teams without a win. Ipswich, Palace, Southampton, Wolves. Out of those four, who gets their first win? Could happen this weekend.
Well, yeah, clearly it's Wolves over City, but
that'd be pretty sick.
No, I think if I had to pick one to honestly take the win, I think I'm going Ipswich. They're playing Everton. Ipswich has looked better over each game, I think, looking more comfortable in Premier League. I think they'll recognize that this is, you know, a game that's one they can win, you know. Leading up to this, they haven't really had any like low rank teams. Southampton, but they drew, so that's, you know, a letdown there. But otherwise, yeah, all kind of you know, top half teams. So Everton will be in you know, have good momentum from their recent weeks, but I think Ipswich, while they haven't won, I think their performances have been getting better and should give them some momentum, especially at home, to finally get a win. So I think Ipswich will do it.
Let me give shout-outs to Southampton. I believe in your statement, but I think Leicester is still such a all-over-the-place team. You never know what you're going to get each week. I think if Southampton wants to get one, at least soon, that's going to be the one to do it, because they got City next. So,
yeah.
Let's get it. Let's get your 3 points before you have to go face City and possibly go on a confidence killer after that.
Yeah. I mean, I think, while it's surprising Wolves are dead last right now, I think Crystal Palace being in this no-win group is just so surprising.
Oh my gosh, how disappointing, man.
It's to go from ending the season so just like attack was on fire, defense was strong. I know you sold Anderson in the back. You know, no Elise, but he didn't really play that much anyway. You know, they've had some changes, but I don't think anything drastic enough to get them where they have no wins on the season. You know, we're 7 games in, and you need to grab one win in there. 14th is getting further and further away, and I know that's where you want to end up. So
I thought this was going to be the year, Chad. They cracked 12.
It should have been. I could still be, but they're really making it difficult.
I don't know. They're not scoring goals the same way they were scoring.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they figure that out as time goes on, but it's I'm disappointed. I almost bought a Palace jersey. I always get one like off kit every year, and that was going to be the one, and I gosh, maybe that was it. Maybe because I didn't get it.
You did this.
I did this.
I wanted to attempt it so bad. They're in a weird spot and, you know, need to figure it out sooner rather than later. Just trying to see. Where's just the normal shots? Oh, here. So, yeah, this season so far they've had 91 shots, 27 on target. So, like, one of those got to go in.
Where's the 91 rank in the table?
Oh, I don't know about that. I'm not looking at that part, but I can try and find it.
I can try to find it too. Well, Holland has 35.
Wow. Can't really compare him.
I got it here.
Yeah.
Crystal Palace has 92 shots. They're 10th in Premier League.
So, I mean, yeah, you're getting shots off. I think just need to be a little bit more clinical, I guess. You know, you're doing the right things. It just hasn't clicked yet, maybe. So I think maybe there's hope still. But like I said, you're making it real tough on you to you know, break through that 12th position ceiling you've set for yourself.
are you still looking at the shots rankings?
Just on their page, yeah, not not league.
But. Let's who do you think's top three right now in shots?
In shots, I feel like City's got to be up there.
City's number one.
Is 35 alone.
City's number one, 135.
City and
ooh, this next stat we're not gonna like.
Maybe Brighton.
Brighton's number 6.
Okay.
I think your number 2 makes sense for the way they play.
Chelsea.
No.
No. Villa. Oh,
no.
No.
Villa's not even top 10.
Really?
Yeah. Who's all gas, no brakes? All attack. Screw a defense.
All gas, no brakes. The tater tots, of course.
There you go. It's there. They're number 2 with 123. Now, team number three.
Guys,
be the biggest surprise on this list. I didn't expect them to be up here.
Bournemouth.
Are you looking at it?
No.
You're right. It is Bournemouth.
Nailed it. Nailed that one.
117. So, not far off from City. So, I had no idea. I don't think we can get on target, though. Okay, I got one more stat for you.
Uh-oh.
Big chances missed. Top 3.
Missed. Oof.
Which honestly isn't, like, the worst stat to have.
No. Would be nice if you didn't have it. But big chances missed. Maybe a West Ham is in there somewhere? No.
West Ham's number 10.
Dang, they got to up those numbers.
Tottenham's tied with them at number 1.
Really? Tottenham and... This must be Chelsea.
Look behind you.
I kind of figured it could be Arsenal, but at the same time, I was like, didn't feel like we were missing that much.
The stats don't lie, Chad. Liverpool, Man United are tied for 2nd with 17. Y'all have 18. And then Chelsea, Brentford, Aston Villa, Bournemouth, Southampton, which is kind of a surprise. And then United. So Southampton has these missed opportunities. Why? Let's go. Start figuring it out. Start putting them back in the net, because I had you not getting relegated. So we can still make that
happen.
It's
time to put the work in, get the ball in the net.
Please. Please. Man, anything else, chat, EPL, before we dive back in this weekend? I think I'm just jonesing to, like, get back in that groove again. I miss my Sunday mornings.
I'm sure there's, you know,
plenty
bits and pieces we missed, but it's been like 3 weeks, so
old news.
Just get back into the groove. You know, I'm excited to see United crumble. I'm excited to see Wolves get a win. You know, yeah, it'll be a good weekend.
Well, let's talk a little bit about USA Soccer, Chad.
We are back.
Oh, we're so back. Watch out, world. We're here, and we're not leaving. I got goosebumps just now, dude. That's crazy. Was I nervous watching the game on Saturday? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it was a good nerve. It was like this guy knows what he's... I know he at least knows what he's doing with his players. Yeah. And then seeing reports... I'll have to send you this video. Cameron sent it to me. It was a interview with Tim Ream. And he was basically saying that you saw that they were doing training sessions were only lasting an hour.
Yeah.
And they're like so exhausted now by Pochettino's couple hour training sessions. Like, what? No wonder we're getting smoked out there. I don't know how out of context that is from Ream, but there's two things I want to just quickly say about what this team needs and what they have. They have really... really good individual pieces in there. Pulisic is we could argue the best player in Italy right now, which is a crazy thing to say. We have Anthony Robinson, who I think we can honestly say might be the best left back in the Premier League right now.
So we
have these players who are, I mean, that first goal we scored is all because of Robinson and Pulisic. And then, of course, finding a way into the back of the net by Musa. That's great. But Anderson is the one. I'm sorry. Oh my gosh. Robinson is the one who found every ounce of willpower to not lose that ball. Mm-hmm. And then Pulisic made a great move to then cut it in. So Pochettino just needs to get a little bit more out of everyone else to make our few individual stars flourish. The other thing is we have players right now on our team who are just not starting. And I think that's our detriment. I think, you know, I love Matt Turner, but he's not seeing reps, first team reps every single week. That doesn't help at all.
No.
And that goes down, that goes down the whole line for players. If we're not getting in games every single week, your reaction times are off, your conditioning's off, everything. Mm-hmm. You're almost getting warmed up in these huge games for your country.
Pochettino kind of talked about that too. He said, you know, yeah, there's all these players in Europe, but if they're not playing, these MLS guys might be the better option.
And I don't disagree with that one bit.
Not at all, yeah.
And
yeah.
I do think our starting 11, I know it's not really up to them at times, but it's okay to step down a league if you're going to get maximum playing time.
I think, you know, Turner especially, I think, should have done that. You know, he had probably some of the best learning in his life at Arsenal under, you know, a top goalkeeping coach, and, you know, got to make an appearance or two there, which took him to Forest, where he was starting for a while and played well enough, but was, you know, playing week in, week out. And I think when you see Forest start to, you know, not only bring in a keeper, but then, you know, bring in another one in the summer, it's like, that's kind of the writing on the wall for you. You gotta, as much as they always say, like, you know, fight for your spot and all that, like, I think you look to a championship team, they probably find something there that at least you're playing every game, or, you know, at least more frequently than you are right now.
And it helps with your mental too. Look at Sargent. We've been dying for Sargent to get into this team, and he's flourishing in the championship. And you know, he had a couple opportunities in that game where I think he would have loved to score, but that'll come. I'm just happy. Yeah. Sargent, I've been so high on Sargent for so long, and now I hope Pochettino gives him the playing time he deserves and he can make the most of it. I mean,
yeah,
I think he did great. I think most of the team played pretty decent this last game. There were a couple moments when Panama had a shot on goal, and you know, it made me a little nervous. Like, oh, but but there was nothing in that game where I was just like, we're playing terrible. Our lead is going to go away so fast. I mean, yeah, it was 1-0 to the very end. It wasn't like it was a clear-cut 2-0 easy finish, and Panama's no slouch. We know that.
Yeah. And, I mean, I didn't watch that game, but I just know that, like, having watched so many games under Berhalter, it more often than not, you watch it and immediately you can see that team is just slow, doesn't really know what to do, doesn't want to commit to the attack, and you know, if Pochettino can at least coach that part out of it and you know, send the team out with a good game plan. And I know some of these CONCACAF games get like really screwy, especially in you know, not that we need to qualify for World Cup, but like in qualifying kind of rounds, that they get really really chippy, and you get weird fields and high humidity spots and all these weird things over here, but
snow.
snow, yeah. So I mean, as long as he can set a team out that like wants to play, we're not just trying to like always find Pulisic and you know, have him do everything, like,
right,
there's enough quality, even if you're not at his level, there's enough quality in that team, I think, to, you know, be able to fashion some good chances and get more people involved in the scoring. And yeah, I'm excited to see what Pochettino can do. Like, it's our one game down against, you know, Panama, who's not great, but has given us problems in the past. And now going right into Mexico, who's also in their kind of, you know, rebuilding, rediscovering their play style phase. So, yeah, it's one game, but future's looking bright, I feel like.
It's better.
Yeah.
It sure is better.
And that's all I want right now, is just, like, not more Greg on the sideline just showing off his shoes. And
give me some hope, man.
Yeah.
Give me some freaking hope. And like, even if it's not, you know, of course I don't expect this team to win the World Cup, but at least now it's like with a manager who has been to arguably the biggest games in Europe and, and at least has a resume that he can prove that he's gotten teams who, I mean, let's just look at Tottenham a few years back. That team probably should not have gotten to the Champions League final when they did with that squad they had. And he found a way. He adapted. He's a good tournament coach from what we've seen. And this is exactly what I think we need. You know, there was no one better on the market besides Klopp, really.
Yeah.
So, you know, and Klopp, we never even, that was like a really just a crazy projected dream out there. So yeah, I mean, again, one game, small sample size, but it made me happy.
Yeah.
That's what matters.
I think, you know, that's, I would say every USA fan is not going into this World Cup expecting to win the thing, right? Like, if it happens, incredible. I'm 100% on board, but make, you know, a movie. But we just want to see this team, one, compete to the level we know we can compete at, and two, have a good run. Like,
that's,
you
it.
Know, we had a few World Cups where we had a good run, even if the team wasn't fully performing, but there was a lot of fight out there, a lot of drive, and you know, big players stepped up, and you know, then you have the World Cup that we miss, and that's a big blow. And then, you know, Qatar is like, it wasn't terrible, but there's all the noise of like Reyna and him not playing, and you know, all this external stuff. And then it goes to like Berhalter's fired, psych, just kidding, he's coming back.
Come on,
and so it feels good to just like be able to kind of close that chapter, I think, and just move forward. And yeah, just want a good tournament run. That's all we're asking. Good performances.
Give me some fight. Give me some grit.
Yeah.
Just try to win. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's God, it's such a sour note that Berhalter left with us this last summer. It's like anything, anything is better than this. Anything. Yeah. And, I think we have something. We have something brewing. I just, again, we need our guys to get playing, more play time for everyone. And geez, we'll circle back and guess we don't have to technically qualify. So I don't even know what do we do in the qualifying rounds.
You just keep playing friendlies, like, which kind of sucks, but yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure. I haven't ever paid attention to what the host nation does. And, you know, I wasn't involved in soccer last time we hosted, so.
Yeah, that definitely makes me curious, because are you playing your guys in friend, like, you got to keep them conditioned, you got
to
keep them fit, but it's like,
right?
But it's
you
like,
you want to, well, one, yeah, you got to figure out, you know, the squad you want to take, and sure, then once you kind of have at least most of that, you know, start to get the tactics and everything dialed in. So I think you got to find a way to schedule like tough friendlies, I guess. And
yeah,
well, yeah, the you know, level of competition won't be the same as an actual qualifying game. At least as long as you're playing like good teams, I think it should be okay. It just can't be, you know, your random, like, I don't know, other South American team that is not going to make it to the World Cup. So they're not in qualifiers and, you know, it's just there to play. And you gotta find the balance, I guess, of like competitive, but they're also not like they'll, I don't know. I'd assume they have their own qualifying to do elsewhere. So it's like, I don't know.
Right. What teams are going to play us in friendlies and play a hard competitive match too? Yeah. It's like,
I guess we just rotate us, Canada, and Mexico. We're all in.
That's so true.
Maybe.
There's going to be some crazy games if we go against each other. We're going to know each other so well by then.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
But just thinking about it, I bet there will be teams, like the middle tier teams, who still need to prove that they're World Cup ready. Since we're getting this expansion, we're going to see a lot of teams that, gosh, probably have never qualified before. So they'll have something to prove in friendlies, at least I think. But like we shouldn't schedule a friendly against Spain. Like, they're not going to play their guys. They'll play a B team who wants to show, you know, at least show what they can do, but we're not going to be playing those guys in the World Cup. So what is it like? It doesn't really matter. Again, good competition is what we need. We need to make sure we play teams that will actually play hard against us.
Yeah.
And not like Brazil this last summer, who did not play hard in very many games. And yeah, weird squad there. That's a whole other story. Did not go well. It was not great. All right, sweet. Anything else that we need to check?
I don't think so. I'm ready for Premier League football to get back. I feel like I keep sticking in more and more international breaks and just ruins the flow.
We'll have a good flow these next couple of weeks. We're dialed in. Don't forget to do your predictions. I think you forgot. You forgot a week or two ago. Yeah, Kristen made a note of that. She definitely called you out. Yep. She was like, I passed Chad. You didn't pick. Yeah, I'm looking forward to having my coffee on Sunday and Saturday and Sunday mornings and not having to fly everywhere. At least these next
for a few weeks.
Yeah. A little break here. All right, Chad. I think we did a nice little recap. Blew off the dust. Anything else you want to say to the people?
No. And just sorry we were gone, and should be smooth sailing from here, I think.
I will say, quick note before we go, our podcast numbers are still shooting up. Like we had a great September despite releasing two episodes. So thank you again to those people who are still finding us, discovering us. Shout outs to Ridley, who the first thing he said was like, I follow you guys. Like, hello. It's like, okay, cool. A guy I haven't seen like a decade at least is looking at our Instagram page and knowing what we're doing. It's funny. Before we leave, he was like, I only see what you guys are doing on social media. I was like, I rarely post. I was like, oh yeah. Hooligans Pitch. Yeah, you're right. Thanks. So that's kind of cool. Mini celeb status, if you want to call it that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Chad, we're like local celebrities. So
pretty much. We'll be men in blazers too in no time.
Yeah.
All right, Chad. I'll be texting you this weekend because we're so back, and maybe we get a podcast with Jordan. We did this last year when we played.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll hit him up again and get on FIFA and whatnot.
Yeah.
All right. Until then, have a great night. With that, the Hooligans Pitch. We're out.
Peace.
Almost forgot how to do that.